Welcome to the Green Insider, powered by eRenewable. Each and every podcast, host Mike Niemer will bring you energy experts to help you better understand the renewable and sustainability space. Education's important to us because it's important to you, the listener. Now, here's Mike Niemer.
Welcome back to the Green Insider podcast, powered by eRenewable. I'm your host, Ron Culver, and with me, as always, is Mike Niemer, CEO of eRenewable. On today's episode, we are joined by one of the founding members of Zettawatts, Jason Beck. But before we dive into their conversation, let's hear from Mike's better half, COO of eRenewable, Ann Niemer.
Ann Niemer here, COO of eRenewable. We know today whether you're a public company, private equity, or privately held company, ESG and sustainability are important to your company. At eRenewable, we can help you achieve some of those goals. If you have any questions or need any assistance with regards to reaching your sustainability goals, please visit us at eRenewable.com to learn more. As always, thank you for listening to The Green Insider, powered by eRenewable.
Thanks, Ann. And now here's Mike with one of the founding members of Zettawatts, Jason Beck.
Welcome to The Green Insider podcast, powered by eRenewable. I'm Mike Niemer today, and I have a special guest, Mr. Jason Beck from Zettawatt.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. Jason, you're one of the founding members of Zettawatt. But before we get into Zettawatt, let's tell the listeners, since you've not been on our show before, a little bit about yourself.
Sure, Mike. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Long-time listener of the show, first time on
Thank you very
show,
much so, yeah. for that. That's great.
Absolutely. So I'm Jason Beck. I am a 15-year veteran of the retail and wholesale energy markets out of 2006. After college, I got involved with Constellation Energy Group, which many people know of as one of the largest suppliers in the country. Through that history, what I was really doing was building sales channels for these supplier businesses. And those sales channels were focused on how do corporations buy energy. Now, this is really the commodity, right? The electrons. Are they getting a good price for those electrons? Are they in a choice state? And throughout that entire experience, what I realized was after going from Constellation to AEP to coming down to Houston, Texas for Source Power and Gas, which sold to NRG, was that I was building businesses for businesses. And why shouldn't I try to do that for myself? And it kind of got me a little bit more interested in entrepreneurship. I started a business in 2017 called Enerex, which is successful, and that's a software company for retail energy. And what that did and why I'm here today is because I saw that I had all this wholesale energy market knowledge and how corporations buy renewable energy. And I didn't realize what impact I could have on grid transition, sustainability, carbon reduction. And so late 2022, I started putting it out into the universe to my friends network that I'm getting more interested in the sustainability movement. Take any introductions anybody wants to share. So a friend of mine introduced me to Scott Case. Scott Case was the founding CTO from Priceline.com and has done so many cool things since. But he approached me in January of 2023 with Zettawatts and a problem that he was facing. He had a small team. They had been looking into corporate energy, renewable energy buying. And the reason being was because they read a book called Speed and Scale, which I've read too, and I suggest all your readers listen to this book, which is Speed and Scale. You can go to speedandscale.com to kind of find out what it's about. But it is a master plan on our carbon problem and all the reductions that need to take place between now and 2050 to have a shot at staying under the Paris 1.5 degree accord. When I read that book, what I realized was 25% of our carbon problem is the energy grid. And I have all this experience in the energy grid. How can I use my experience to help decarbonization? So as we started digging into the problem early last year, the problem is corporations are looking for ways to be more green. That has to do with scope 1, scope 2, scope 3 emission reduction. Specifically around scope 2 is where Zettawatts focuses.
So specifically around scope 2 is where Zettawatt focuses. Well, what do you do that makes that your focus as to 1, 2, 1, and 3?
Yeah, so really because scope 1 is about all the emissions that you put from your operations into the atmosphere. So, you know, think about a manufacturer who's emitting something out of their steam stack, right? That's scope 1 emissions. Scope 2 emissions are your indirect direct emissions, which means in your operations of your daily business in producing your product, you use electricity from the grid. Depending on where in the country that you are, that energy is anywhere from 20% green to 40% green, roughly, and sometimes even lower than that. And to green, or to say that you're buying green energy, there was this market introduced back in 2008 called a renewable energy certificate, or a REC. This market's been great. It has produced people like RE100, the real estate companies, really focusing on buying these renewable energy certificates. And that's a way to reduce scope 2 emissions. But now you have the other option, which is PPAs or VPPAs, power purchase agreements or virtual power purchase agreements. And those are complicated 20 to 200 page documents where a corporation is taking the risk on the energy plus the REC in a new build solar, wind, et cetera project. Now that helps the project get bankable. And then what the corporation does is then make the claim that, look, I'm using green energy because I'm taking those renewable energy certificates off of this project that I helped get financed and I'm purchasing the energy plus RECs off of. And I'm using that against the electricity that I'm using in the grid from scope 2. And that's the way to green power for a corporation. So we focus there because we saw this issue for corporations where RECs themselves are not impactful enough. And VPPAs and PPAs are way complex and very, very risky for a corporation. There's all these corporates in the middle, right? If you don't have the team that, you know, Microsoft, Apple, Google has, where it's 20 energy people that are smarter than me and you, Mike, right, making these decisions, then you're kind of left at, well, what are my options for ease? Because I don't understand these really complicated options. And there's really not a lot of. So we focused on trying to get a new option for these corporations.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And listeners, you all should know about the PPAs and VPPAs because we've covered those multiple times on the show.
Good.
And you're right, Jason. They're complicated. They're hard to do. You can get, think you have price, location, and counterparty all set. The contract never gets signed because it all falls apart.
Yeah.
Market moves by the time it takes, you know, 3, 4, 5 months for the contract to get signed. Market moves. Nobody's willing to give. The deal's a bust. All that time was wasted. So you're exactly right. They are complicated to get done. So that's a revelation. No, that is true.
So true. And to add on to that point, you know, you get like the chief sustainability officer who gets so excited. They found their project. They're excited about the project. They're excited to announce that they helped make the project come to life. And then they bring it to their CFO. And the CFO looks through that document and starts doing what a CFO and a chief risk officer does. And like, protect their business. And they're like, I can never sign this. This is incredibly risky. And I got to report on this PPA in my corporate reporting because it's a derivative. So
Right. There
is a lot of impacts that it has to a corporation that the CSO doesn't truly understand. And it's not until they bring that deal that they've worked on for so long to their CFO, CRO, and then it falls apart. So it's even more annoying because you thought you had something, right?
Yeah, and everybody's psyched up about it because you think you've got this, you know, 7 to 25 year deal all in place. But It falls apart because, as everybody should know, when it's a derivative like the PPA and the VPPA, especially the VPPA, derivative accounting takes over.
That's right.
And that's a horse of a different color.
So true.
And a lot of these manufacturers, they don't have derivative accounting in place because they don't have derivatives.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's a whole different world when you're in that space versus going to another energy company that trades swaps for a living. Big difference.
That's right. You know, you mentioned about the REC. And so maybe some of the listeners right now are thinking like, well, why is a REC not impactful enough? It sounds like that's a great market. It is. However, the way a renewable energy certificate has been done for the last 15 years is most corporations at the end of a calendar year in Q1 of the next year will look back at their total usage from the year prior and then go out into the market and buy old or, you know, last year vintage RECs to green their energy. And that's where the term greenwashing comes from, because I took my energy and then I washed it with a bunch of RECs. Now, that did not help decarbonize the grid, because the only argument you have is that, well, there's this other pool of money that these generators have access to, but that doesn't help them get the project built. The PPA does. It's a forward commitment to purchase, not a past commitment to purchase. So what Zettawatts did is we focused on creating the additionality REC market. So these are 5 to 10 year pre-purchase of fixed price, fixed quantity agreements off of new projects. We have a really novel market mechanism that we can drill into. But what this allows the corporations to do is say, you know, I do want to contribute to the future of decarbonization. I want to say I helped make a project happen. And so they can come into our marketplace, they put in their bid, they name their price. They say, I want a project in Southwest Territory in SPP, or in maybe it's in ERCOT that they want it, right? Or any market. So locationality is something that we really focus on. And they're able to put in their price of what they want to pay for that and then let the market go to work. We have over 50 developers that are receiving our market forecasts and they're selling AREX to Zettawatts.
Okay, so let's break this down.
Please.
We know what's important to buyers is being able to claim additionality, something that they bought before it was built. They contributed to the additionality to the grid of something cleaner and greener, correct?
So correct. And to expand on that, there's really three GHG protocols, which is kind of the gold standard, and it's being rewritten, but that's the gold standard right now. It calls for really three tests. Investment, so was that money that you contributed for that project used when the project went to get parent financing to construct that solar or wind or renewable energy farm? The other one is timing. Did that investment happen pre-COD, before any of the construction really started? And then the last is more of a regulatory test. Is the product that you are using to claim additionality more or more impactful than what else exists out there? And that's the argument. Well, RECs are not as impactful as additionality RECs. So we're passing all three of the tests. Other companies like Microsoft and Google and Amazon have set even higher additionality claims, and we focus on meeting those too, which that's where the 5 and the 10-year strips come from, because if you were just buying a year at a time in advance, that doesn't help that project actually get greenlit and come to the market.
Right. So when somebody hears the word REC, REC, mm-hmm. Renewable Energy Credits, that is something post-development. It's already been built. They've got excess RECs that's not been sold yet. They then sell it into the market. When they hear the term AREC, that stands for Additionality Renewable Energy Credit, that is pre-build. And when you own that, you can in turn claim additionality. Now, the question I have for you is that AREC using a clearinghouse or a portal to have that product retired like they do in the REC market? Is it in a certification registry, so to speak?
Man, this is why you are as good as you are on this podcast, and I appreciate the question greatly. Exactly correct. A REC is retired. There's about 12 to 15 different registries across the U.S. and more internationally, and Zettawatts is a active trader on every single one of those retirement portals. And so within that portal, the way that it's done is that we're making this pre-commitment to purchase these AREX off of a project in advance of their commercial operation. And then that's just let's call that like it's a paper agreement. But then the RECs are actually minted from that project when that project is producing power. As those are produced or minted, then those RECs go into those portals. That renewable energy developer transfers it to Zettawatts at that time. It sits in our account for 5 minutes, and then we bring it over to our corporation who bought from that project. It goes into their account, which we help them through that entire process, and then they'll see that be retired in their account. So no double counting, no greenwashing. We're going to show you the whole transaction and even show that within our software platform as well.
So if a corporation buys from Zettawatt, do they have to choose to retire it right away? Or is that something that's their option to hold for a while in case they wanted to flip it? Or they do have to retire it?
It's a great question. We have no we have nothing in our marketplace that's preventing them from doing that. And most corporations we're speaking to today are those that are looking to solve their own Scope 2 problem. So they're looking to retire it to make sure that they have that claim. But there's other folks that we've partnered with channel partners that might be bringing us demand or channel partners that might be bringing new projects into our marketplace. And for those, a few of them have said as the market gets very mature, they'd like to take positions in our marketplace. And we said, okay, absolutely. Somebody might, like you said, Mike, say, hey, I think renewable energy in general is going to go up over the next 10 years. Well, that makes sense then to buy long today. And that's what a lot of corporations are doing. They might be buying 120% of what they think their energy usage is going to be of the, based on the last few years of usage. They might be looking at that and saying, I want to buy more just so that I have enough to cover maybe any more energy that I use next year. And if not, Zettawatts always helps you sell those extra or excess RECs in those calendar years back into the market. So it's not like a full loss for you. You still will recoup and maybe even gain, but for that matter.
So let's break it down. I'm a corporation. I want to buy some additionality RECs. I call you at Zettawatt. The project you found for me here in ERCOT, we're in Houston, so we'll just say ERCOT. Mm-hmm. We'll stick close to home. Is going to be built and come online 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm. So it's a 2026 vintage, we're saying.
2026, that's cool. Correct. What is the paper trail? What am I going to get as the buyer? And how much money do I put up front based on the cost of what I'm going to... Let's walk through a live type of example.
Love that.
Like, so come up with a typical purchase size for an ordinary corporation and soup to nuts till that thing goes live in 26. What's the process, the paperwork, the cost? And then does the cost, you have to pay the rest once it starts being developed? What's that look like? Let's tell the listeners.
That's awesome. So, all right. So let's take a customer. This is a real live example. They had 250,000 megawatt hours a year that they use in power. We work with companies anywhere from 30,000 megawatt hours a year in usage all the way up to 2.5 million. And yes, we have those level of buyers. So this 250,000 usage customer had three locations, including ERCOT, that they had load centers in, and they wanted to match to that load center. So the corporation, let's take just their ERCOT bid, they come in, 80,000 megawatt hours is what they use in ERCOT. And so what they come into Zettawatt's AREC market, and you can go to this at arecmarket.com to play around with our tool, the corporation comes in and they start their planning journey. So they're starting to think, okay, I use this much, I need 80,000 megawatt hours. What types of projects am I looking for? They can select solar or wind or something with battery storage because they're very focused on reliability. So they're basically creating their own journey of what they want to buy. And our software is allowing them to plan and see how much that costs. The coolest thing about our marketplace, and this goes back to our founders' Priceline.com experience, is that the customer gets to name their price. So they actually, when they put in their offer, they're saying, I am a committed buyer at this price. If you can match me projects, I've already signed, because everyone sees the terms and conditions. And remember, this isn't a bilateral transaction. The corporation is not at risk to a given project. We sit as the market maker. So we get to help them make that project whole. And that comes back to what you talked about, where it was about the project timelines in this 2026 vintage. So I'll cover that. So the corporation comes in. They say, this is what I am going to do from an offer price. What Zettawatts does is then aggregate all the offers that all these corporations are bringing into us. And then we show one single market price to the projects of what Zettawatts is willing to buy an additionality REC from these projects at. Now, what this does for both sides of the market, we talked about how risky a PPA is. That's because it's a bilateral contract. Both parties are fully 100% exposed to just each other. In a market maker situation, from the customer's perspective, we help them with project risk. So this goes to your delay question, kind of, right? It's like, the project I'm buying today is for a COD in 2026. Between now, and let's say they go through the process, like you mentioned, the suppliers come in, they say they're going to sell to Zettawatts. We then take in 10,000 megawatt hour increments those projects and match them to live offers within our system. And that creates a deal. There's a 10-day window where the corporation has to look at the project and just make sure that they're okay saying this public claim that they're going to make with said project, right? It's not going to cause them any issues. But what they don't have to worry about, which is typical in a PPA or VPPA, is that project going to go live? And the reason is because if you think about it, if I made this purchase as a corporation in 2024, the vintage is 2026 when I'm going to start that. Zettawatts is going to know from that project in mid-2025 if that project is not going to get COD. This happens all the time in project development right now. You got transmission queue issues. You have supply issues, right? You have all these different challenges to getting to COD. If it's 2025 and that project just told us, Zettawatts, that they're not going to go live, put aside the teeth that I have in with the developer for a second, for the customer, that shortfall just goes right back into the top of my market as first order filled. We're constantly buying RECs off of projects. So that person is going to get replacement. And in any other marketplace that I know of, that would never exist. So that we're protecting them from project exposure. On the developer side, so many of these corporations don't have great credit. Think about like a real estate investment trust. You think about banks can't actually do a PPA because it is a derivative, right? So they can't do it at the corporate level. They can have trading groups. They can't do it at the corporate level. So you have all these little challenges in different areas for credit issues. And so what we do is we step in and we're buying the AREC. So the developer doesn't care about the end use customer's credit. They care about my credit. And obviously we're a 0-to-1 startup, so our credit's limited, but this is where we have partners that step in and they sleeve all of these deals, underwrite the deals. And so that is providing that letter of guarantee to the end use, to the project developer. So soup to nuts, customer comes in. That's what we protect them from. In 2026 now, when that project goes live, imagine that there was a couple of good news stories over the last 18 months between the, it'll say something like, name a corporation, Target buys additionality RECs from this project in, you know, Houston, Texas, completed through the AREC marketplace. We're not looking, we're all the marketing assignment rights of that project is being assigned to the customer. So they do the good news stories, and now in 2026, that project starts producing RECs. Those RECs go into these market registries that are across the U.S., and that is where the process then takes place to track that credit and make sure that it gets retired in the proper account in 2026.
Makes perfect sense, but now I'm the buyer. When do I pay money?
Yeah, oh, thank you for reminding me of that, this part of the question. Okay, so two options, and this is where we can kind of get into some of the background of how Zettawatts has been last year. So the buyer, when they make that offer price, we ask for 10% deposit on their entire claim. So if it's 10, let's make this up, like 100,000 megawatt hours for at $7 an AREC, right? That's $700,000 times 10 years, that's $7 million. I'm going to say, can I have $700,000 today? Right, they're going to make that deposit, so I know that they're going to be there to pay that. Or bring me $70 million in tax liability, 10x of what your purchase price is, and through the Inflation Reduction Act, which I know you've talked a lot about on your show, there's this new thing called transferability of investment tax credits. And so that corporation could either show up with a 10% deposit, or now that chief sustainability officer that we talked about earlier, they get to go to their CRO and say, hey, I might be able to make our Scope 2 reduction claim with zero impact to the bottom line. And that's a powerful story of now the CSO working collaboratively with the CFO CRO to make their renewable energy promises come to life.
So of the customers you've onboarded so far, what percent pay the 10% versus the tax credit?
Right now, what we're seeing of customers coming into the marketplace, it's roughly 50-50. We thought it was going to be way more because who doesn't like free, right? Or who doesn't like zero impact to bottom line? But what we're noticing is that is a lot of tax liability.
That was my thought. Is it how many people in your example, it's $700 million or $70 million in tax credits.
Right, and realize we're working with publicly traded firms and, you know, large private firms that are tied to publicly traded firms that have these Scope 2, Scope 3 goals. But having said that, yeah, absolutely. It is one of those things that it is a lot of tax liability to have. So, but that just means that it's for certain codes, right? SIC codes. Certain industries will better be apt to take advantage of that, like banks. for instance, right? A bank has a ton of tax liability. Manufacturers have a ton of tax liability. You know who doesn't? Real estate investment trusts, because that's an asset that's depreciating. And that's where the creative accounting comes into place. When you have depreciating assets, you don't generate a lot of tax liability to the U.S. government.
Let's go back to your AREC marketplace. You're really kind of talking about an exchange being built, okay? Mm-hmm. Similar to ICE or the New York Stock Exchange, whatever, but an exchange being built. And so customers are typically that participate in either of those markets are used to having a margin call, used to have, when the market moves, they have to send more money, or they get money back if it goes their favor, right? Mm-hmm. None of that takes place with yours.
No, none of it. None of it.
Do they have to go through a FCM, a futures commission merchant to trade with, or a stockbroker type person, or just them against you?
Great question. And we've been advised on this from the get-go because we wanted to make sure that we were building the most easy and simplistic way for corporations to make these renewable energy purchases and claims. So it is a fixed price, fixed quantity purchase that is not being retraded, and
No mark-to-market involved.
No mark-to-market involved, because when you think about a REC, right, versus the energy is on a market. It's a public market and traded with a bunch of counterparties, et cetera. The renewable energy certificates, because of the way they were done, there really isn't a futures market for it. And so while we are creating a future purchase—
Yeah, but you know what? Most of these RECs trade on ICE, so in there— I might argue with you a bit on that.
Yeah. No, again, totally. Again, position.
There is a futures market.
Totally agreed. Position buying, right? Where mm-hmm. we talked about that earlier. Position buying versus fixed price future contracts for a given quantity seem to stay out of the fray, based at least on what our lawyers tell us, that stay out of the fray from Securities Exchange Commissions and being a actual security.
Glad I asked that question.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you asking it, too.
Yeah. So, Jason, you guys have been doing this now for how long? What date was your first transaction?
Yeah, so we are actually entering into our first transactions as we speak. Scott Case had been at this for about a year leading up to 2023 when I met him. And when we met, all we had was, I see this problem. Corporations are having a problem buying energy from your industry, the industry you, Jason Beck, have been part of for the last 15, 20 years. There's got to be better solutions. In April is kind of when we came up with the AREC market idea and concept.
April of 23.
Yeah, just this past
year.
Oh,
so it's brand new.
Yeah, so this is, and it's funny, but before when we were talking, this is the renewable energy transition at large right now that we're seeing. It's a lot of, this is all new ideas and planning for now what the next 12, specifically going to 2035, looks like for us to get close to being able to get to our 2050 goals. So this is all coming to life now. You've seen some of these ITC, investment tax credit marketplaces, pop up over the last year as well. And so talking about timing, in August is when we found those partners to do the investment tax credit transfer with. And then we started gearing up for our first live view of our marketplace here at the end of March. And we're really excited for it and have about 500,000 to 2 million megawatt hours of demand getting lined up. So pretty
well,
fun.
I'm excited for it too. Thanks. Jason, thank you so much for joining me on the Green Insider today. Thank you also for being an avid listener. That's always appreciated. It's always nice to hear that story. But anyway, you've enlightened us on the AREC market. Good luck to you and Scott with your Zenawatt new company. Glad you're about to have that first transaction. We'll have to get you back on after you've got a couple of transactions under your belt. When you do have that, you'll learn a little bit more than what we know now. We'll be glad to have you on to update the listeners.
So true. Thanks so much, Mike, for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for listening to The Green Insider. And as the saying goes, you should try to learn something new every day. And today, we were responsible for the lesson you learned. This is Mike Niemer. Have a great day.
A big thanks to Jason for joining the podcast today. And thank you all for listening. A brief reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Green Insider podcast, what are you waiting for? Become one today from wherever you receive your podcasts. And please leave us a 5-star rating.